Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Family Business, where I am thrilled to introduce Nitin Sulunke and his favorite bookends. We're going to unpack much about his life. Our show is focused on the intertwining of family and careers, and here's a great example. Nitin, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Matt. Glad to be here, and it's always fun to connect with you in a little bit different setting that you have set together here at Dragonfly.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've been talking for 18 years, you and I.
That's correct.
Yeah, I checked to be sure. I'm like, 18 years? So tell me who's with you.
Yeah, now today, this morning, I have my wife Supriya here with me, as well as my daughter Sonia. And this being a family business affair here, Matt, you know, they have some, they are my partner in crime in the journey of Med Devices. So I thought I'll bring them along here as well.
Well, that's great. So let's, if you don't mind, let's take a minute for each of you. And Nitin, you go first. And just, where are you today? What are you doing at the moment? So everyone has some context of who we're speaking to, and then we can get into the fun stuff.
So today, Matt, I'm president and CEO of Supera Medical. Supera Medical is a portfolio company of ShifaMed, which is an innovation hub here in Silicon Valley. We are in the business of developing a catheter-based blood pump. We are an early stage company funded by venture capitalists and making progress towards our next milestone here.
Excellent. All right, Mom, you're next.
Hi, I'm Supriya, and been also working in a medical company for a long time, almost now 2 decades, and been now partnering with Nitin for almost a decade, sharing carpool rides and being there all the time. For a decade, we enjoyed working together.
You guys met at Gore? Is that correct?
No, that is not how it worked out, Matt. No, we met before, but Gore being a family-oriented company, they decided to recruit Supriya along with me. And then initially I was resisting, of course, you know, not want to work together in the same office, same company. But they really encouraged, you know, Gore is a very family-oriented company, and they encouraged to, you know, consider both working there. And I have to acknowledge they were right. I was wrong. We had a lot of fun working together almost for 11 years, as Supriya mentioned, and a lot of fond memories.
All right. Well, Sonia, what is your story?
Yeah, nice to meet you. So I actually graduated from college at Berkeley almost over a year ago now. And I'm currently at Accenture. I work a lot more with digital health and kind of hospital of the future type stuff now, but all my interest in healthcare began with medical devices. So really credit that to my parents.
Well, yeah. So it's funny that's the situation, because, you know, you always wonder, is it osmosis? Like, how did you fall into this, you know, this world of healthcare? And so I'll start with you, if you don't mind. So
Sure. Growing
up, I mean, your parents were obviously up to their elbows in healthcare. Yeah. How much of that did that influence you, or did you kind of find your own path and just happen to be similar to theirs?
I think a little bit of both. I will say, I mean, I have a lot of friends where their parents, either they are doctors or they have this aspiration of my son or daughter needs to be a doctor, kind of had that force fed into their childhood. I feel like for me, it was very different. I mean, dinner table conversations very naturally would flow in that direction. And I grew up seeing my parents in a career where every day they were making an impact and they were talking about how fulfilling that was, how XYZ thing that they did at work that day, you know, saved some patient's life or made this change. And that's all I kind of really knew growing up. So when it came time to shape my own path, I started seeking, you know, I want that kind of fulfillment in my own career. I want to be involved in healthcare, but always saw myself a little bit more extroverted, saw the kind of careers my parents had working with physicians, but not, you know, being in the operating room doing the procedures itself. And so that pushed me into it. So I think it was parts of both where they gave me the resources I needed to explore the career, but didn't force me in that direction.
Did the dinner table conversations get a little graphic and you had to kind of calm them down? It's like, I'm eating. I don't need to hear about the OR.
As far as I remember, they did not, but there were some bring your child to work days where I was like, okay, this is definitely validating that I don't want to be a doctor or a surgeon.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a binary type of situation. Either you are squeamish or you are not.
Yes.
And yeah, and you know right away, like I watch those National Geographic episodes and I watch surgeries all the time. I have zero squeamishness. My wife, literally, who's one of the toughest people I know, you turn around and she's gone. She's already left the room, left the house. It's over. So one of the things that I always enjoy talking to Nitin about is vacations. You guys seem to have this close-knit feeling of whether it's activities or travel, doing everything together. So I don't have a problem with whoever has the best memory you guys pick, but I'd love to hear about one of your vacations or one of your holidays that you think is out of the ordinary, because I'm sure there's some stories there, but I know that you guys travel to some exotic places.
So one time, I'll trigger their memory. One time we were vacationing in Costa Rica, and Costa Rica is all about outdoor activities. Our family is more into outdoor stuff rather than indoor. So we booked the vacation, we booked all kind of excursions. And one of the excursion happens to be the zip lining, right? And zip line, Sonia is adventurous type. I'm somewhere there, but Supriya, we have to pay attention to how much she can take it with us. And of course, no peer pressure, right? So uh-huh. That happens in the family and the family world also. And so here is zip line, and we are ready. And we took probably one or two of those first segments of the zip line, and came a third segment where before you get on a zip line, there is a Tarzan jump you have to do. There is a long rope hung from the tree that you have to grab and make a big jump across this small valley. And that wasn't what Supriya signed up for. And so that was an interesting situation, let's put that way. You can go back. To go forward, you have to take the Tarzan jump. And that's where the family was literally frozen for a minute.
Okay, so Supriya, you take it from here. What was going through your mind at that point, other than some choice words for your husband?
So definitely, as Nitin mentioned, there was no turning back. I looked back at all my family's mom that direction, and there was such an excitement from the folks who were down up there saying, like, you can do this. And I'm like, okay, what's it going to take me? And then there was one push from the back. Probably that was Nitin. That was it. And I think when I did it, I felt like it wasn't that bad. And I think you have to go through those fears. And Nitin has always coached us, all of us in the family, to challenge your fears. And I think that was one of the moments for me that either I'm with them or I'm not. And at this point, let's just have fun all together.
Well, that's awesome, because
it made it my last stars in swing.
Sonia, is that really the way it went down?
A little bit, yeah. But I think what my mom said with my dad kind of always pushing us to face our fears, try something new, really resonated. I mean, that exact anecdote I can share with when I was learning to ride a bike. He took me on this big hill and he took the training wheels off. And he's like, okay, I'm going to like hold you on the back and push you along. And my feet were just in the air. And literally, like, all of a sudden, no warning whatsoever, he lets go and I'm just zooming down. And my only option is to put my feet on the pedal and keep pedaling. And, that's how I learned how to ride a bike. So I definitely agree. My dad is always there to kind of push us in the right direction that way.
Awesome. It's funny. I taught both my kids how to ride a bike. And what's funny is my son, who's pretty adventurous, but when he was four and I put him on the bike, how the pedal is sharp? Yeah. And it sure enough, he stepped on it the wrong way and it cycled right back into his shin and cut him. And he was done for a year. He wouldn't get back on the bike. I'm like, Spencer, it's fine. The bike didn't bite you. It's a bicycle. Yeah. So it could have ended a lot differently. Luckily for you, that ended positively, or there would have been a long time between you and the bicycle spending time together. So I'm always curious in these kind of scenarios where both parents are highly educated, obviously successful, and certainly more academic than some. And so Supriya, if you would start, like, how did you decide to raise Sonia where you're like, listen, we all are very well educated, but that doesn't mean that has to be her life. And she could follow us, do her own thing, or something in between. But I'm curious, as a mom and being so well educated and so successful, how do you control not controlling?
Very challenging question you ask. So yeah, that's true. And Sonia being the first child, you know, one thing I had in my mind is like, that's the foundation. So if we happen to have a future, think about second child, or that's when this is the first person in the house should be matured enough and have a good understanding. So that's kind of the coaching gears I was wearing with Sonia. And one thing I did with Sonia and with both kids, in fact, is was like Sonia mentioned, the dinner time table conversation, lunch conversation, anything. We laid out options. There's always not one option. There are different paths. So we kind of navigated them always on what are the different paths based on our experience we have, but you feel free to create your own path. So I think with that the mindset in mind, and one excellent example is Sonia have always baffled us in a challenging way on as she started her journey in education. Either she wants to be run for the school president, or is it for, and like, really, where did that genes come from? But, you know, she has that spirit where she challenges, she looks into the system, either graduating early from high school. So when we had those conversations, we gave her different paths. Some things we are not knowledgeable enough. We always had encouraged kids to put the proposals up. And they have put the proposals up, you won't believe, since their childhood via email, asking for either a phone set, a very long time when those were tiny phone sets, to up till now, even as they propose as they're going into jobs and different offers. So, you know, they have always been forefront, and we gave them that option. I think that behavior has been continuing since the childhood until now.
Neetan, are you in the same boat, or did you look at it differently, being a PhD and then looking at your children saying, wow, I hope that they see academics as an opportunity like I did? Because in my house, it's not if you're going to college, it's how many degrees are you going to get? You know, that's just the way we are in my house. But I'm curious if it's that way for you.
I was mindful about that. You know, I wanted to make sure there is no pressure from the dad's side when it comes to, you know, what degree or how many degrees you are going to get. So one of the fun assignment, not so fun, but fun as well, I signed up for was when Sonia was in elementary school. I said, I'm going to go back to school with her. And that's when I signed up to go and get my business degree. So I was working full time. Sonia was in elementary school, and I signed up to go and get my MBA. So that was the part of the assignment was fun because I get to do my homework along with her. I get to do my project for the business school along with her, and also make her a guinea pig to listen to some of my presentations and case studies. And that's one, you know, selfish way to influence her, but at the same time, have fun along the way. So it's, you know, it's a little bit of nudge, but at the same time, no pressure.
Sonia, was it fun for you?
I definitely think so. I mean, that's, now that I'm thinking about it, that's probably why I pursued business in college, and it did not click until just now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I always tell my kids that, you know, I may not be talking to you, but I think you're paying attention. You're watching how I behave or how my wife behaves, and this is what happens. Years later, they say your words, or they do something relating to that, and they don't even know where it comes from. It just kind of clicks. It's interesting how that all works out. Now, if I remember right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember this correctly, is that you're runners, and there's a fair amount of physical activity as a family. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, remind me, because you told me a great story one time about the amount that you guys run, and either you run for a purpose or a race or a charity or something like that. But there was something you had told me at one point about you ran with more than just for pure exercise. There was something behind it.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been running on and off, you know, better part of my life, but, you know, things came and, you know, got busy and I stopped running. And what happened was last year, as we all started working from home during this COVID-19 pandemic, Sonia came home from her college dorms, and she also started working from home. And, of course, you know, we've been somewhat active and outdoor. Sonia wasn't the one enjoying that outdoor stuff that much more when she was in school. But her 4 years in college, I will say, transformed her. She became more athlete and outdoor person, not only doing the running and bicycling, but also, you know, weight training and whatnot. So she's one day, literally that first day of working from home, she said, Dad, let's go for a run. You know, it's a lunchtime. We are working from home. we need to do some activity. And I said, I haven't run for a while, but you know, let's what the heck, let's do it. You know, if she's asking me, that's one way. We had our bond going on. We always ask each other and challenge each other. She challenged me to run after several years of break, and we ran for a few miles that day, and that was very enjoyable. So then she put another challenge in front of me. She said, Dad, your birthday is coming. How about signing up for a half marathon for the birthday run? Because she was going to run a half marathon for one of the causes, but all those half marathons got canceled, right, because of a pandemic. And so she said, that should not be stopping us. We should be running with or without that cause. And that's how on the on my 52nd birthday, we all came together as a family. Sonia and I, we ran our half marathon. And Supriya and our younger daughter, Nikki, they ran 10K. So that's how it became a family affair of running together.
All right. So I run a bit too. And I have a very simple policy. Don't talk to me while I'm running. Because the fact that I'm still moving forward is all that I've got. And when people come up next to you and they want to start talking, I'm just, no. So I'm curious, do you guys talk to each other while you run, or do you follow my philosophy?
I wish I could. My dad can run like no music, nothing, just listening to nature. And I think that's crazy. I don't know how he does it. I need like my super fast music on the loudest volume. I'll be running next to him. So that kind of camaraderie is there. But I wish we could talk. We do go on family walks very often and hiking. So we picked that up during quarantine. And for the longest time, it was like every weekend, Sunday morning, you know, some Saturday night, pick the hike, Sunday morning, get ready and out the door by 9. And that really became our chance to unplug and spend time together outdoors, which we were kind of missing for the past couple of years when I was in college and my sister was busy with high school.
And so how old is Nikki now? Is she in college now? Or is she in high school?
She's a freshman at Stanford right now.
You guys are all overachievers. It's a little intimidating. So where do you think this all comes from, this family unit kind of mentality? Because, I mean, I work around the world and I talk to people from all over, and it's not common to have people act like you guys act, where you're so close-knit. And I'm curious, Supriya, where does that come from? Like, where is it, the way you grew up, or did you guys create this on your own?
Well, kind of. When I grew up also, we have a small family. So me and my brother, we are closely connected. But definitely coming into spending more time with Nitin and his family, they're also closely tied up. So education is very important, and that's the foundation, which is just given. It's like that's something is an enjoyment for many of them. So it's very surprising. My kids participating in the science project, but on the side, they were also in learning dances or other extracurricular activity. My younger one is a basketball player. So, you know, it's just whatever they see and they enjoy, we gave them a lot of exposure. Some things which I wasn't exposed growing up, I let them choose their options, and I see them, if they flourish, then they continue the path. And it's been just natural, just guiding them and navigating them through what we see.
Well, that's interesting, because there is a family. I just moved into a new house, and so because I have this ridiculous dog, I'm outside all the time walking him, and he's terrorizing the villagers. And so because of that, I see this family. There are four of them, and they do everything together. They walk together, they jog together, and it reminded me of you, because I knew we were talking and coming up, and I said, God, they do everything together, and they're always the most pleasant, happy people. And it doesn't look, you know what I've noticed, and this is what I'm hearing from you, is it doesn't seem like anybody resents having to go or having to do it together. Like, it doesn't look like the kids are upset. They're teenagers, the boys, and so I'm curious, and Sonia, they're not listening. Was there any obligation you had to go?
For me, not at all. I think the nice thing was I went to school pretty close by. I was at Berkeley, so only an hour's drive away. But still, having those 4 years away from college, coming home, it was nice to finally get to spend time. I mean, before that, when I was in high school, my dad was commuting to SoCal from Medtronic as well. So being able to come home and have that time where everyone's together. I mean, I really cherish that. I will say, I mean, those boys, I don't know what their story is like at home, but there are times when my sister and I are like, we need to get out. And I think, you know, we've all been at home together for over a year now. Yeah. There's days when we're like, okay, like, let's just go have our own time, or I will go on my run and have my own time. But we really enjoy spending time together. And I think a lot of that comes from the way we were raised. Family is very important. Being able to have that time together is really important. And the fact that our parents never really forced anything on us. It was always very, you do this if you want to.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you're getting old enough when you're a young teen, let's call it, to make your own decisions if you want to go. And anytime I've ever forced my kids to do something, it usually doesn't end well. There's a lot of eye rolling and ignoring me and on their phone and those kinds of things. So I found that it doesn't work out well. Now, the careers that you both have had, and I guess on your career is now starting too, so I guess the three of you with your careers, the choices that you've made on jobs you've taken, jobs you've turned down, whether they're promotions internally or sidesteps to other types of roles, like how involved was your family in these choices? Because I get the feeling that you guys seem to make decisions together. Nitin, why don't you start?
Yeah, no, of course. You know, one of the philosophical foundation, at least I operate with, is, you know, enjoy the journey, not the destination. Destination will come, but enjoy the journey. And that applies to, you know, family activities or your career. And of course, you know, in the journey, you need good partners. You need good company. You can, you know, the journey will be miserable if you don't have a good company. And so whether it's making career decisions or family decisions, it's good to get the family involved and everyone's opinion heard and have a collective decision. Sometimes the decision may not be unanimous, which is okay, but at least it's an informed decision. So that happened, almost every career change I made. And looking back, you know, a lot of the work and activities that I get to do, as we always say, Matt, you know, you need a support. You need a family support to do what we do at work. And having that involvement in these decisions along the way in the career journey gave me that support that I was, you know, always relied on. And so that kind of behavior then, of course, had a reciprocal effect. So when it came to making decision for, you know, Sonia on her selections and choices, we discuss and decide together. But at the same time, you know, one thing I also explained that, look, it's your decision. And end of the day, you will live and die with your decision. So no pressure. You know, we are here to give you advice. But at the end of the day, it has to be your decision.
Supriya, is that how it goes? Is that how career decisions are made in the house?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, like, the kids always look for our guidance and experience. So they do like to listen in, and they say, and you know, nowadays the conversations are going in that they just want to listen and understand our opinion. And then they try to discuss over it and propose. So that's been very common. Now I think it's getting more productive and more of an intellectual stimulus to it than as they were younger kids, like look into our eyes and try to explain. Now no more.
So Sonia, you mentioned something earlier that I'm always curious about, because I almost had this in my life, but it didn't happen, where my dad was going to commute every week back and forth. Actually, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and that's where he was going to go because I'm in Miami now. And it wound up not working out, but we were discussing it as teenagers. My dad's going to be gone. And I'm curious, what's that like growing up in a house like that? And do you have to take on additional responsibilities? Do you feel like you have to, you know, wear dad's hat from time to time? Like, how does that work when you're growing up like that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think when people hear it off the bat at first, they always kind of have that impression of, oh, like the house was empty or there were extra responsibilities. But I think my dad did a really good job of balancing both. So it never really felt like anything was missing. He would do, I think it was Monday to Thursday. And so weekends he was home, and weekdays we were all so busy. It's like, what's even happening? And so weekends became special time. I remember it was like Thursday night, he would come home, we'd eat dinner, and I'd say, okay, we're going for driving practice. I was trying to get my license at the time. So I knew I had like 3 days to cram in all the hours. And then kind of fun fact, a couple of years down the line, when I started college, my first internship actually was with him at Medtronic. And so really? For a whole summer, I commuted back and forth with him, and that became kind of our special little thing too.
Wow, now talk about intertwining family and careers. Look what you guys did. You one-upped me on this show. I can't even come up with anything better than that.
That's the best summer I had, Matt, because we commuted together.
Yeah.
We spent the weekdays together and again, weekend together here as well.
Holy
and
cow. Was,
we were in different buildings, so there was a little bit of a separation there.
I would hope so. Eventually, you got to just have some quiet for just a minute. That's amazing. So Supriya, what was it like when the two of them would leave? Was it just you and Nikki and just in the house, or what was happening while they were gone?
Well, me time. Nikki was there, and my mother-in-law, Nitin's mom,
okay.
She's around. So yeah, so it was staple on day-to-day activities, and it's always like, you know, the daily activities don't end, pick up the mail and those things and watering the plant. So yeah, it was going very well. As I said, like, they were still connected, and Nikki going into the school, always keeping me busy, and grandma being at home, there was always support. So it was seamless.
I love when I hear that one of the grandparents lives in the house, and I've heard that a few times in the couple of these that I've done like 25 of them. And there's been a couple and it always comes out like in conversation. And to me, it's so much more of a bigger deal than something, and not that you're in passing, obviously, you know, you love that she's there, but Sonia, I'm curious what it's like having your grandparent growing up in the house. Cause I didn't have that, you know, my grandparents weren't nearby. And so I didn't have that. I don't know what that feels like when you come down for breakfast and they're sitting there, because old people are always sitting there staring at you. That's just what they do. They don't sleep. I'm curious what it was like growing up, and how did you think it affected you from like a wisdom standpoint and getting advice from somebody different than your parents?
Yeah, absolutely. And my, like you mentioned, like my grandmother has been a really big part of growing up. I mean, she would spend a majority of the year with us every year. We also did very frequent trips to India. And so I think that definitely contributed to that close-knit family feeling, is being surrounded not just by the immediate family unit, but beyond that too, and interacting with those folks. Also, I definitely credit kind of my language abilities to her, because growing up, Marathi and Hindi, which is what we speak at home in our native languages, all kind of came from her. That's where I learned to practice it with, and seeing her cook and eat the traditional foods, I think that instilled that extra element of culture, which my parents always emphasized. But seeing her kind of practice and bring that into the day-to-day really helped too.
So you touch on something that's a soft spot for me. My family, our celebratory go-to is Indian food. And you would never think it, because we're from middle America, from Ohio. You know, what are the odds? Meanwhile, you can't make it spicy enough for me, whether it's fall or vindaloo or whatever it is. You know, my kids sometimes won't try what I have, but what do you usually make? What's your best dish?
I wish I could cook as well as they do. I don't, but my grandma, no, I'm here for the eating. But I really enjoy chole. That's like your garbanzo beans and curry, mm-hmm. and naan. So kind of like the flatbread.
Yeah, it's funny. We were just huge fans. And I always wonder if it's been Americanized, and how authentic is it? The people claim who live in the neighborhood, the family who owns it absolutely is authentic. I'm like, okay, if you say so, I'm enjoying it. That's all that I really care about at the moment. So there's something that I would love to know a little bit more about. The last month or so, there's been a significant amount on social media about women's movement in business and growth and having a seat at the table. And there's been several different days to signify growth. And here at my office, where, you know, I work with more female executives than males. I love it. And it's, you know, my wife and my sister, and they're all executives. So I'm surrounded by it. But I'm curious for you guys at home, is that something that you're conscious of? Is that something you guys talk about, Supriya and Sonia, and now Nikki and Nitin as well? Of course, it has to come from you too. Is that something that's ever talked about, or is that just something that's tacit and it's just out there?
Now, for me, Matt, it happened more naturally in the beginning. You know, when I started the career, you know, 25 years ago, you know, some of these things were not as openly talked about. But equality and diversity is always a big strength in my calculation. And so even for day-to-day family decision or career decision, as we talked about, we always consulted because you get diversity of opinion. And when Sonia was born, raising her as a daughter, that became the aha moment where, hey, I want to raise her as a strong leader. I want to raise her as an independent individual as she grows up. And so through her growth, then seeing Supriya's growth in her own career, how she led with her own strengths and not let her weaknesses get in the way. So watching Supriya's leadership growth, watching Sonia as a child growing and developing her leadership skills, it then became natural that why women leadership is so critical, both in the personal life as well as at the work life. And so that brought me to even practice more and more of that diversity and women leadership at work. And now that you said, I, similar to you, Matt, I had a privilege to work with more women leaders in my career than I initially anticipated. And I learned so much from them, and I became so much more balanced person, both at work and at home, that it then became again natural. So it came full circle. It started as a natural practice to have them involved and develop them as a leader. Then it became a more conscious decision in the middle part of my career. And now it became again natural that having a women leader around the table has to be, and it become a given situation at work also.
Yeah, Supriya, is that something that you've sat down with your girls and talked about? Hey, look, sometimes I'm the only woman in the room, and this is what it feels like, and this is what you may be facing. Or am I living in the past a bit and it's not that much anymore?
Well, growing up as I graduated as an engineer, I knew it from the day one that I will be surrounded by a lot more and there will be the gender differences. So I knew that. And it's about what you think and what then others think. So my kids, as they were growing up, and Nitin was the minority in the house, as you see.
Yep.
So he got a lot more pampering, having wife, mom around, and the adorable daughter. So he is a special person in the house. So it's in our case, I think everybody has that built-in instinct of leadership within each one of us. And so I never felt at home or at work, anywhere for that matter, socially, anywhere that you can't grow or you have limited choices. There's abundance that could be done, and it's all about how you think about it.
Sonia, is that the way that you took it? Did you sit and discuss these particular topics, or was it just one of those things that you're experiencing on your own now that you're hired at a significant job of your own? I'm curious if any of that has come up in your mind or the way you approach it from a career standpoint.
Yeah, no, I think what was really important in kind of my upbringing was that it was never something that was emphasized. You know, my dad and my mom never really said, like, oh, because you're a girl, like, you need to think about XYZ things, or, you know, that it was never really vocalized in that way. When I started to enter kind of the job force and things like that, my dad would always emphasize, like, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, or if you're a female in the room, what your ethnicity is, any of that, like, that should not limit what you're doing or the roles that you're going for, which really was that kind of extra push. And now that I look back, I think the best thing he did was show me lots of examples. So I remember, I think this was like very casual in the beginning, and even now, our family group chat, whenever he sees kind of like a female role model working in the healthcare or med devices space, he just sends their LinkedIn, or he'll send their contact and say, just reach out to them. And that's where a lot of my own mentors came from. So I think having those examples, just growing up and seeing them happening, and then having a great one at home with my mom, that was everything that I needed to know that I could succeed too.
That's a unique approach, to just let her reach out on her own. And if you click with that person, terrific. I mean, you obviously have some home cooking there, so it's not a big deal. You turn around and look at your mom, you don't have to look too far. I mean, that's amazing, because I always wonder, as my daughter ages, am I doing that right? Am I setting the stage for her? Am I going too far where she's so strong that she overpowers people? You know, sometimes I wonder if I created a monster. And so it's interesting to see. I guess it's a matter of age and maturity and so on. Is Nikki the same, or is she a different personality than you?
Very different in good ways. I think we complement each other really well, but she does have a different personality. And I think that's what creates that balance in our family. We have a little bit of everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the reason why you guys probably can hang together so often is that everyone brings a little something to the table. Well, look, this has been everything that I thought I was going to be and more. I didn't expect to have a triple threat here. It's funny how these things, I go into them with a certain expectation and look at what happened. Did I miss any stories or any anecdotes that I should hear about the family that I didn't touch on yet?
A couple of nuggets, Matt. Sure. My first product launch and Sonia's birth is separated by only 2 months.
Oh my goodness.
It was April of 99 when Sonia was born, and my very first product in my career, we did first in human case in July of 99. So it's only 3 months apart, and you know what it takes to prepare for first in human milestone. So that's where I half seriously, half jokingly said, I had two babies in 99. It was Sonia first, and then my first product, Helix Septal Occluder. So having those two babies to grew up with and then raising them became a very interesting journey. So that was very coincidental, but that's how, it's hard to choose. Either is Sonia the most favorite or my first product the most favorite?
Yeah, I'm sure it depends on the day. Yeah, it's interesting that you probably didn't sleep for a year. Supriya, was he around or was he busy doing statistical analysis on his product and not paying attention to getting you ice chips?
He was around, but there were parts where he had to travel.
Yeah.
And I always had support around, but great dad from day one. I mean, one of the example I can give is Sonia had a very short sleeper. So she used to wake up as a baby very often, and being first time parents, it was hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And the one thing that worked for her is somebody sitting with her in the arms on the rocking chair. An interesting part is a vacuum cleaner next to it turned on. She can sleep. I don't know what that magic was, but I don't know, some sort of a
humming noise.
And so Nitin used to take her in his arms and sleep almost like a whole day with her, because that's the only sleep Sonia would get. So my thing was making sure that Nitin's not moving around and he gets what he wants, but the baby's sleeping. So he's a great dad. That's what a couple of times in the beginning, first couple of weeks, he was there to support.
So Sonia, how often do they bring that up to remind you that they slept in a rocking chair with a vacuum cleaner on?
I like to think I've more than made up for it since then, but it does come up often.
I'll bet. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure truly meeting all of you. This has been The Family Business, where family is what binds you. This is the Salonque family. Enjoy this conversation, because you don't talk to people like this too often. Thanks so much for being on the show. I truly enjoyed it.
The feelings are mutual, Matt. It's great to have you and get to know you for the last 18 years, and great to have this conversation through this platform.
Awesome. All the best. Give Nikki a hug for us. You guys take care.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thank Bye-bye. You.